It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Hello, and welcome to episode, I'm so excited to say this number, 052.
52.
Do you know what that means, Sam?
Yeah, that means we have gone around the sun full time, Rachel. We've been podcasting for an entire year.
Yes!
Can you believe it?
No, I cannot. I cannot, and yet I can because we love this so much. Like, this is what we love to do, and so...
Yeah, we are having a blast with a capital B and an exclamation mark at the end.
That should be a song. I feel like Taylor Swift could write a song. Blast, exclamation mark, all capital letters.
It's giving slut. It's giving me.
Mm-hmm. It's giving me.
Mm-hmm. No, this is lovely to be where we are, Rachel. And boy, what is there to talk about today other than the song? What's happened in the Swift universe in the last time we've met?
Well, I literally wrote down under the section Taylor T, I wrote no notes. No notes. And actually, that's a really refreshing place to be. We have been bombarded with Taylor Swift so much that it is like taken over our conversation beyond what we just want to talk about.
Sort of like 2016 pre-reputation Taylor era. Kind
it's
of giving
almost,
that.
Is it like she's going dark?
I mean, she was at the football game last weekend.
She just celebrated her birthday, for heaven's sakes.
Yes.
Like, we haven't even podcasted?
We haven't pottied.
I'm pretty sure that's not the word.
We pottied on her birthday last week. We met and pottied on Taylor Swift's birthday.
Well, so the girl did have quite the celebration.
Yeah.
She did.
She needs to go.
It was delightful to see.
Chill with her family and her friends and loved ones for the holidays, and ring in a new year in a quiet way. I hope that she has that for herself.
I love that for her.
I just want her to.
I also love that for us. Like, I mean, we're gonna be together, so it would be so fun if like something went live. But can we just have a quiet, like, no news? No notes.
Yeah, but I do have to tell you something. I don't know if this is gonna upset you or not, but
uh-oh.
I have rented and watched the Eras Tour at home.
You have.
I didn't know if you'd be upset because I think we were hoping to do that together, but you know I want to watch it as many times as possible.
It's okay. It's totally fine. So, I know that you're in grief by Reputation's exit, so this is fine.
Yeah.
And what did you think?
What's an at-home experience? This was like finally the third time was the charm for me. Not like I hated the first two times. That's not what I'm saying. But I've had amnesia those first two times because the concert itself was so overwhelming. The movie theater experience was so overwhelming. And this time I just got to chill with a couple of friends and a rack of ribs. And the Christmas margaritas. I forget. No, Merry margaritas is what my friend called. It was a chill evening, but so much fun. We just had a great time. And I really love the home experience because you can pause
fun.
It. You can
like
talk with your friends. We had a friend who was like a new curious Swiftie. I don't think she would call herself a Swiftie. She's intrigued by Taylor Swift and wants to know more. So that was fun to sort of...
What a great place to be.
Totally.
I love a curious Swiftie. I have been one before, fell into the deep end, but I was a curious Swiftie. And it's just a lovely place to live.
I realize, though, how obsessed I am when I'm the one explaining, and I've like spent too much time talking and giving information, and I don't think she was as interested, but she was there for it. I hope to watch it again with you, Rachel. It was so much fun.
I love that. Let's do it.
And the bonus songs, Long Live, was so great. Wildest Dreams, so great. The Archer, fine. I don't think I've ever admitted this, but I don't care for that song very much.
I don't either.
Okay. I don't think we're a minority. I think the world is split on The Archer. Some people...
I felt like she chose The Archer just to please, like, those who love... Maybe she loves the... I mean, she certainly chose songs that she really loved. It just seemed like an odd choice.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the performance. I liked the transition into Fearless of the guitar. Agreed. I liked the arrows pointing, but, like, no, not my favorite song.
I think the weirdest decision that's been made... I cannot fathom why Cardigan was cut from both the movie theater edit and the at home. We still don't have Cardigan at the Eras Tour movie.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, of all songs, that's the only one that did not make the cut. It's Cardigan. It's such an important song.
Right. I feel like that's gonna, like, that's a little carrot. It's a little chicken nugget, if you will.
Okay, so what's a carrot?
Well, it's not a chicken nugget. It's actually a carrot, but I like chicken nuggets better than carrots. So it's like, what? Like when you dangle something in front of somebody. I think it's like goes to the reference of like you put a carrot in front of a horse and it gets them to move. So you dangle a carrot in front of somebody. It's like, oh, we still have Cardigan. You want it. And so that's going to be like the next thing
that we have to spend money for. To get it, yes,
to like,
you're so right.
Buy a subscription to something, right?
You're so right. I bet you at some point this will be available. The Eras Tour movie will be available for purchase, and maybe then that will include Cardigan. I don't know.
It's possible.
Or maybe it'll include like the first verse of Cardigan, and then you have to buy an additional release to get the whole thing. I wouldn't put it past Taylor Swift.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
Well.
All right, I do have one other piece of news I just wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the podcast Daily, The Daily. It's mm-hmm. a New York Times podcast. And they interviewed Taffy. I don't know her last name. Laffy?
Laffy Taffy.
Probably. It's probably Laffy.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who, I think I mentioned this before, I think, wrote the most incredible article for the New York Times about her experience of going to the Eras Tour, but like basically tied it the entire thing in about being a fan and what it means to be a fan. And so her interview on The Daily was just a short 36-minuter about like this being the year of Taylor Swift. And for one, I cried so much just listening to it. Like, she cries towards the end. Yes, shocker. But there were some incredible pull quotes that she had towards the end that just make the entire thing worth listening to, especially if you're a creative. I just want to share a couple of them here. And then I want to send everyone to go listen to that podcast after you listen to our podcast, of course.
Duh.
All great art is art that sees you. If you show somebody that they are real, you have them for life.
Wow. That is the truth.
And
with Taylor Swift.
She was talking about a lot about how Taylor, she was referring to the song Tolerate It and how this is like a song that could be maybe a love song if you wanted it to, or like a set, like a breakup song. But what we really know it to be is a song about Taylor's feelings when her masters were sold from her, away from her, and like all of her feelings around that. And so this Taffy was saying how like it's not like any of us really have ever many of us have experienced like someone taking our recordings, but what it does is shows us like we can all relate somehow in some way.
Yes.
To betrayal or hurt or not or any of that.
Appreciated. And,
yeah. And Sam, like, you and I talk about that all the time on this podcast. This is why we can spend an entire over an hour talking about one song and how it relates to our lives. This is why Rachel cries all the time when she's listening to Taylor Swift or anything related. Because not because, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you mean, Taylor, the last time that, you know, Harry Styles like broke up with me. Like, I could totally feel that way. No, it's just, it's specific enough that makes, like, good art makes us see ourselves in it. So go listen. It's so good. Yeah. It's such a great listen and a great understanding of, like, what it means to be a fan of Taylor Swift or a fan of anything for that matter. Mm. I loved it.
I can't seem to get over that the woman's name is Taffy.
I was trying to understand, like, what's that short for?
Ooh,
like,
taffeta.
Where did that come from?
Isn't that a name?
Could be. I don't know. It's probably one of those, like, quirky, like, a sibling couldn't say her name. It's like, and so it became Taffy.
Maybe.
And so it just, like, stuck. But that's your takeaway?
I don't have anything else to say besides that, I guess.
Okay. Well, then maybe we ought to transition into some new shit and find out what new things you've been listening to. I'm doing good. I'm on some
new shit. Absolutely, sis. I guess I'll go first.
Do it.
So I've been low-key wanting to talk about this music on our podcast the last month. My favorite Christmas album of all time is something I listen to over and over again in the Christmas time of year, the Christmas season. And that would be...
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Okay, that's number two. That maybe that is my number... No. I'm sticking with what I'm saying here.
Stick with it.
That would be NSYNC's Home for Christmas, the 1998... lovely Christmas album. I think it's 98, which is the only Christmas album they have. That's fine. We don't need another, but
please,
I
no more.
Just love that Christmas album. I'm going to call it a CD because my memories with it is just listening to the CD. I love that CD so much.
That CD. Yes.
I have so many nostalgic memories, but the Christmas, Rachel, that we spent Christmas morning at our home in Kansas, and then the next day we packed up and drove to Breckenridge, Colorado, which is like where I live now. I got that CD for Christmas and then listened to it on my Walkman throughout the car ride.
Oh my God, I love this.
I wonder what you were listening to on that car
ride. I know, I was just trying to think about that because I'm trying to remember if that was the Christmas I got the Beatles album, but I think that was a little bit earlier maybe. Yeah.
But I love every song. Their harmonies are so good in that. And yes, it's a little poppy and cheesy, but the majority of the songs are originals and they're pretty good originals. I got to say, they do cover like The First Noel, they cover Silent Night. I mean, sorry, Oh Holy Night. They cover Chestnuts Roasting. The specific song that I'm going to bring up is the last track of the album, and that is the song Kiss Me at Midnight. So you can see why
I love it
for this episode.
Yes!
And that is a New Year's Eve song, and it's a fun, boisterous, bouncy song with a great beat, good hook, and it's about, you know, wanting someone to kiss you at midnight. Hey, yeah. Definitely listen to it this New Year's Eve, Rachel.
Hey, maybe I ought to share a New Year's Eve song too.
Well, right? Go with your gut, I guess.
I am, because this is a great transition. You know what I've been listening to this week? Actually, you know, because I texted you. I have been listening to the new Sabrina Carpenter Christmas EP.
Oh.
Okay.
How is
this
it?
Fruitcake is the name of this. Have you listened yet?
Not yet, no. I saw Chats and Reacts reacted to it, so it's on my list of things to listen to.
It's a true delight. It is a true delight. Now, I hope you like it because you really turned down my Sia recommendation.
Yeah,
so maybe you're just really particular about your Christmas pop and it's like NSYNC or nothing. Okay. But this is so fun. It's also really like, I swear she wrote it like totally drunk or high or something.
I could see Sabrina doing that.
So, Sam, do you know the song that she does, I think it's called Nonsense, where she changes the lyrics towards the end?
Yes, yes.
For every concert that she does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first song on this Fruitcake album is A Nonsense Christmas, and
ooh,
it is hysterical. That's not my new shit, because I'm trying to tie it into New Year's Eve. I just have to say, I texted you that there's this line.
Yes, please repeat this on the podcast.
Am I allowed to repeat this on the podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay, the line from that song is, I need that Charles Dickens. And that is like probably the tamest one I can say to you right
bloody.
Now. No, it's just ridiculous songwriting. For just the sake of ridiculous songwriting, okay?
Sabrina just has fun.
She does, but that's not the song I was going to, that I really enjoy. The one that ties us in is called Is It New Year's Eve Yet?
Okay.
And it's all about like the annoying things about Christmas, which I'm going to say is not our experience because we have a lovely time with our family back home at Christmas time.
We're very lucky.
It's really, really great. But in this song, she's just kind of, basically you can tell she's just sad and she doesn't have anybody to spend New Year's and Christmas with, and she just wants to like get through the whole dang thing. So
is it New Year's yet? I'm getting bored, so can we skip ahead? I just wanna forget that I'm at home with nobody to hold.
It's a fun album. Put it on. I like it.
It's an EP, isn't it? Like there's not a whole
bunch there's of songs. Like five or six. It's not very many. But we're not talking about Christmas today, Sam.
No, we're not.
Believe it or not, we're moving on from all of these Christmas songs we've been discussing.
Oh, gosh.
In the last few
all weeks. Of the songs. The one.
All of the songs.
In my opinion. We found one.
We're moving into a really great holiday song. We don't get enough New Year's songs. The song that we're discussing this week is New Year's Day.
I want your midnights, but I'll be cleaning up bottles with you on New Year's Day. You squeezed my hand three times in the back of a taxi.
So, New Year's Day. I chose this song, but it was like basically chosen for me because it's just like, it's fitting, right? I think this song does get us into the spirit, but there might be a new different spirit to this song than just like what we anticipate New Year's. I mean, maybe that's the whole spirit of the song, right?
Speaking of spirits.
Speaking of spirits, can we have a cocktail before we talk about the spirit of the song?
Yes, sister, we can. So my cocktail, I was thinking about on New Year's Day, she's cleaning up the bottles of champagne, which have gone flat. Because it's the next day. Mm-hmm. So there's no longer bubbly champagne being flown. I mean, flowing, I think is what I mean to say. Either way, it's not.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
It's not bubbly. So I used a white wine that's flat and non-sparkling. And I used the Bonterra Sauvignon Blanc because it has a butterfly on it. And this song leads us into the lover era, which is butterflies and not snakes. So it has that wine. It's simple. I just wanted a wine cocktail, white wine cocktail. It's got the Sauvignon Blanc, a little bit of lemon juice, and elderflower liqueur. And that's it. Shaken over ice, poured into a wine glass. Of course, I added some edible glitter to it, which has sank to the bottom of the glass, just like it's on the floor after the party. I don't know. Maybe I'll call it after
that's
the party.
I think that's your name right there. After the party.
After the party. There you go. So I'm drinking my after the party. Cheers.
All right. Cheers to that.
What about you?
Similar glass shape here. This is a bit of a cheat because I've covered this song with a cocktail on my Story Sip and Song account before. And so I just decided not to overthink it and just use the same cocktail because I really do think it fits. So I was also thinking about how this song is really a lot about the end of the party when you're cleaning up bottles. At the end of the party, I think that I imagine this happens to me sometimes when I'm cleaning up a party. We have like a thing of champagne that didn't get finished. Okay. And then you also end up, people like bring beers, and there's always those like beers that nobody really wanted that maybe it's like in a mix pack. Yeah. So it's usually like a fruity beer.
Totally. It's the sweeter fruity beers.
Right? It's always the sweeter fruity beers that you're like, I don't really want to drink that with my pizza. Right? So when you're cleaning up these bottles, if you splash that like fruity beer into your dry champagne that actually lost some of its bubbles, you not only make the champagne better, but you make the beer better because you mix those two together and it's kind of a delight. So I think we just call this Toast of the Town.
Well, yeah, your town, you invited the whole town to your party and they brought those beers, and that's fitting.
Or the person that you love and you're just like cleaning up life with, yes, is your town. It's your whole town. It's your whole world. And you're toasting to that.
Well, cheers. Clink, clink.
So clink, clink, Sam. Toast to the after party.
Well, Rachel, you chose this song. I would like to know if you have thoughts on what you think the spirit of this song is, the overall message and theme and vibe that this story portrays.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts and they kind of get like layered as it goes on. So like the initial thought is just kind of what we might initial think about this. This is a song about like how we'll be there for the highs and the lows of a relationship, you know, that and also the in between. So in the song, we hear like they're cleaning up after a party, literally. And it's kind of about like which. It's kind of a mundane activity, but also it has a reference to like cleaning up when things are kind of messy and like making them better. But it also has a reference to just being there with the person. Like, we don't need these big parties to celebrate. I want life to always be a party. I also want to be there when we're just like trying to like move on in our life. I think that there is a bigger thing about like, so Taylor Swift talked about how when she was writing this song, she was like, you know, we all talk about like that midnight kiss and like who should we kiss at midnight, and there's something so romantic about that, but that like the person that like takes care of you the next day and gives you Advil and like helps you that's the true romance, right? And yeah. I think that's such a beautiful idea.
It's so relatable too. That quote, I totally love when she said, you know, she's like, I love to think about who's there with you giving you Advil, because I just love to think that our girl Taylor loves glasses of wine and on New Year's Eve especially, and that she too gets hungover. And we didn't even talk about that in the Time article discussion that we had, how she's so she said she abstained from drinking while she was training for the Eras Tour throughout the Eras Tour even maybe, because she just like can't fathom being hungover and performing. And I love that.
But same.
Same, right?
I do think it's really important to note that this song was the closing song on Reputation.
Yes.
And I think it shocked a lot of listeners because, we already got a bit of a shock at the beginning of Reputation. Like,
oh, yes.
Whoa, what is this new sound? You're listening to it throughout. And then, boom, a gentle piano.
It is quite different from the rest of the album. And I have dropped this before, how it might be my least favorite song on the album, just because I just love the hype energy that Reputation brings. That's what always attracted me to it. I by no means dislike New Year's Day, but because it's so sonically different, it stands out. But I think that's why I wanted to acknowledge the wine that I chose is more of a lover suited wine, because this song perfectly leads you into that era, which is more gentle and soft love songs than you get in Reputation. What's interesting, I wanted to bring this up, is Reputation, the album, I think, is the only album in Taylor Swift's discography that never had a deluxe version or like an added, or like, we don't have a vault track yet, or like a bonus song. I think every other album has that. So New Year's Day is truly the end of Reputation era as we know it. And, you know, because every other album, like a week or two later, she would put out like the Target edition with an added song, or, you know, we've gotten vault tracks from Lover. That means Daylight wasn't the end. So this truly is the end of that whole album as we know it. And it is really interesting how it just sounds so different. I guess let's transition to the musical mixology.
Yeah, let's transition to the music. I have other thoughts on the spirit, but I think I'll bring it up as the lyrics come along.
Great. Okay. So the music, you know, we've talked about how it's soft and subdued. It's the only track on this entire album without added production. Here's what we've got. We've got the piano. We've got the guitar.
Don't read the last page.
And we've got a synthesizer. That's truly it. And the synthesizer is used very minimally. And it only comes on like halfway through the song. I think it comes on at the second chorus.
Hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you. Hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you.
Yeah, it's the second chorus, and like when it swells into the bridge, excuse me.
So I was going to say, this is definitely not a Swellsea song. I could see.
No, it's a very subtle Swellsea. You're right.
Subtle Swellsea moment.
I wouldn't even call it. I think you wouldn't even notice it if you weren't listening to your headphones and like trying to listen for a different music change. Yeah.
An interesting thing to point out is that Jack Antonoff was being interviewed by Jimmy Kimmel right after this album came out. Actually, right after Taylor Swift performed the song on Jimmy Kimmel's show, it was like the next week, Jack Antonoff was there and talking about his work on this song and the album as a whole, but specifically the song, and how when they recorded it, they ended up using the original him playing the piano. Like, it's not perfected. And you truly do hear that. You hear like his hands moving around. You almost hear him shifting in his seat as he's playing this. It kind of mimics the start of the album with Ready For It when she clears her throat.
Yes.
And it's just a very honest way to record. It's so soft. The chords are not simple. There's really unique chords, but the playing of the piano itself is just, it's just simple. That's just an overall theme I'm going to be using, is simple when it comes to the musical mixology of it. The other thing I wanted to mention is her voice goes so low during the moments
you and me from the night before, but
and
you and me forevermore.
I don't know if there's a lower note that she's ever sung before, but it really is a very low register moment. I mean, she's tapping into like the tenor area with that note, not even alto.
But she goes all the way up to soprano too later in the song, even when she's like doing her own harmony.
Please don't to the memory come a stranger to use laugh. Hold on to the memory.
Yes, she really does. Yeah.
Which is, the range of that girl.
Mm.
I would actually – it's interesting that this is not one of your favorite songs in this album, because this song hits my top 10 of all time.
Of all time?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I think I understand now why I love this song so much. I mean, it's the message that I love a lot, and I'll get more into that. It has a really personal connection to my own like story and thoughts. But you know I love a contrast. And I think I just realized that when I heard this song, after listening to so many great, huge, big moments that I was just like obsessed with, it's amazing. And then you get just the incredible pullback of this song. You stop and you listen. Like I wasn't dancing when I heard this song. I was just kind of like stunned. Like, what is this? And those are the songs that I stop and listen. And those are the songs that really like plant in my heart. Like they make a memory. And mm-hmm. I think that that's what this song does for me on this entire album. And because of that, it just becomes like a strong memory for me. So I really love that the way that the music really catches your attention. I think you were talking about like the way that Jack Antonoff recorded or produced it. Like you do hear like a clicking sound in the background. I think that clicking sound is like her foot on the pedals.
Oh.
Or his I think it's her. I think she's playing.
No, Jack is playing.
Okay. Because she performs it. Right, obviously. We've seen her perform it. But I thought I saw somebody mention that maybe that's what it is, like his foot going up and down on the pedals. And what I hear, though, when I hear that is I see the clicking of a slide projector. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do.
And there's something about this song that is very much like I picture like black and white, like blinking, similar to the Lover lyric video that we have where see the like old fashioned like projector roll. And like I feel like I can like see this like click, 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 like you're flashing through the memories of a relationship.
That's unique and interesting you say that because my synesthesia kicks in a lot with this song, and I just see black and white with this song.
Yes.
And I think partly it's the album closer and the album cover is black and white, but it's also so simple that I also picture just black and white. But also the contrast, like you mentioned, black and white.
Yeah.
So that clicking, it's reminiscent of a slide projector, which kids these days won't ever know. But
no, they wouldn't. But they probably would bring it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
They
probably
like
will.
I'm sure they have. There's probably an app for that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, let's get into the lyrics, shall we?
Yes, please.
All right. The entire first verse, I feel like, is important to kind of read all together. There's glitter on the floor after the party. Girls carrying their shoes down in the lobby. Candle walks and Polaroids on the hardwood floor, you and me from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful picture painted immediately, right? I think I was remembering how some people used this a lot in their Eras Tour videos. Like, and it felt like it was just so – I don't know if you saw that. Like, they played this song, and it is so accurate. Like, if you think about that, just, like, the memory of glitter on the floor after a party, your shoes – you're carrying your shoes because you're uncomfortable. You've got Polaroids, all these memories from the night
before.
Like,
leaving the Eras Tour once it's done.
Yes. Like, yes. And the lobby, literally, like, the hotel where they stayed because, you know, it's, like, was taken over by Swifty fans. So I think that's really – you can feel the slow moving feel of reflecting the day after a party, right? Like you do that. You like you're moving around, you're maybe a little hungover, you're thinking about the night before, maybe you're thinking about the good memories, hopefully. It's just quiet. There's a quiet there.
This is random, but I always struggle if I'm singing this song aloud to myself, whether I'm driving or wherever I am. I can never get candle wax and Polaroids. I'm actually surprised I just said it right there. I always end up saying polar wax and candleroids. Those two just get really jumbled for me. Candle wax and Polaroids. What comes first? Is it – it's candle wax.
Candle wax and Polaroids.
And then Polaroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are we assuming she's picturing like she was hosting the party? And so these are her hardwood floors and – she's there cleaning up, or is this like the party has ended and, you know, and like, what, how does she know girls are in the lobby if she's upstairs? So I'm just trying, and maybe I'm thinking too much into it, but I am trying to picture, where is she? What is the setting? Is this her home? Is this a hotel?
Here's my theory. Here's one of my theories. Maybe this is a good time. Now, I feel like we need to keep reading. Okay.
Sure.
Let's keep reading and I'll get to it. So don't read the last page. But I stay when you're lost and I'm scared and you're turning away. First of all, a reference to storytelling. You know I love that.
Yes, yes. Great. I figured you would bring up that and the whole page and reading. Yes.
Yeah. I also made me think of like the cover of Reputation is a newspaper. And I just was thinking about that. That's so interesting. And it like I think this is basically saying like don't skip through all of it, as if like the person she's singing about wants to know like, wait, I need to know if this is going anywhere. Like what's happened? What happens to us? What, and like, and he, like that I'm getting the sense that the other person is maybe worried. Like when you're lost and I'm scared and you're turning away, like it made me think, I mean, we're assuming that this is about Joe.
Yes.
I have other thoughts about that, but we're assuming this is about Joe. You have to wonder, was he the questioner in this relationship?
Well, I think they both questioned things throughout the six years they were together.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but there were moments of doubt, as we've discussed in songs past, as we have received evidence of in you know, songs like You Were Losing Me, False God. Like there were struggles that they had. This song doesn't really focus on that there are struggles, but it's almost hypothetical. Like if and when, because what's the lyric? I don't have it pulled up. When you're lost and you're scared and you're turning away.
The first time is when you're lost and you're scared and you're turning away.
She is saying when, but I'm almost getting more of the energy. Like she expects that if and when that does happen, I think is what she's trying to present here.
When you're lost and I'm scared and you're turning away.
Right. Well, and if you skip to the end, they're not together anymore. If you really get all the way to the end. And so that's in the back of my mind this whole time. Like I can't help but not think about like you're losing me. Okay. So I'll get more specific in the next line about that. But like I think what she's saying is in general, like if you want to go all the way to the end, you miss out on these beautiful parts in the middle, like these beautiful middles of the struggles and the fix, like just the going through the day to day. But if you have to know, I stay. Like she's like, but I know you need to know, so I'll tell you I stay.
Mm-hmm.
I stay here. I stay through all of it. If that's all you need to know, I stay. I can't tell you how hard it was, but I stay. And I think that's important. I think sometimes we just need that. We need to know that.
It's just interesting that she wrote that lyric because there's no way of her knowing that. Like, don't read the last page. The last page is the ending, right? So there's no way she's going to know what the ending is, but she's saying, guess what? I stay. As if like she's 1000% confident that she will be there forever, but
she stays through the story.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, but I stay through all of it. Or, oh gosh, she didn't know this. This is the beginning, but like, I stay. I can't say much for you, but I stay. I try.
Yeah.
I give you all my. The best of me, but that's another song written at another New Year's Eve. So
yeah.
Okay, but this next section, I know it's semantics, and I know I'm looking at reading into it. So you can tell me to stop. The next part, this is the most important part. I want your midnights, but I'll be cleaning up bottles with you on New Year's Day. Okay, that is a beautiful line. It's the reason I love this song so much, because it is absolutely what I want from a relationship.
Yes.
I want a love that is fun and celebratory, but also most importantly, just there in the day to day, like there in the nitty gritty, the rough, the tough, the boring, the whatever. Like I want that.
Yeah.
And she wants that too.
Yeah. She wants what Midnights represents in this song, which, okay, we'll get into the whole Midnights thing, but What she's saying is the midnights of New Year's Eve is when it's romantic and exciting and fun. I want that. But she goes, but I will be cleaning up bottles with you on New Year's Day, implying I want those highs, but I also will be there when it is not great.
Okay. So here's the weird thing that you can tell me that I'm kind of weird about. I just keep thinking about how the fact that I don't think Joe liked parties. I don't think Joe liked...
I think that's pretty evident.
He didn't like the shimmer and shine. And in this line, I want your midnights, but I'll be cleaning up bottles with you. As if she's saying, I want you to be there with me at midnight, but I'll still be here when, like, I know you don't like it, and I'll still be here the next day cleaning up with you. They're not, like, hanging out. Like, he doesn't enjoy the part. I can, like, think of people in my life who just don't love the big party night thing.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I am not one of those people in your life.
Okay. No.
Give me a party. I'm going to be there.
Exactly. The Rankies like a party.
We do like a party. We sure do.
But I just, there's some people who don't like that. And I'm just getting the feeling that she's like, oh, that's okay, honey. That's okay. Because, like, it's fine. I'll be with you. I'll clean up the bottles with you.
Yes.
And then later on, she's just eventually it gets to the point where she's just like, no, I actually do want you there now. Like, I do want you there. And that's why this isn't working. Okay. But we don't have that right now. So I'm jumping too far ahead.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead too.
Do it.
With a little fathoming. So. Okay. The line is, I want your midnights. We famously have her album Midnights Now, which
yes, we do.
Was, you know, 5 years post this song coming out. And I don't believe that she was planning on writing Midnights or calling it Midnights when she wrote Reputation, specifically New Year's Day. But it's interesting to picture, now that we know that what we've come to the conclusion that a lot of the songs on Midnights are about the struggle that she was experiencing in her relationship with Joe and how she didn't want that version of Midnights. She wants, I want your Midnights, Joe. Like, I want what's good. But what we end up getting is her Midnights, which is like all the pain and the anxiety that we get from the album Midnights. I just like to think of it now as, you know, we can kind of reinterpret this knowing now what we do, that she wants what it would have been. Interesting, right?
So is this at all influenced by a line that Taylor was recorded saying when she's talking about her Lover album? And she says, I wrote this album, Lover. I'm going to send the clip to you. But there's a clip, and everyone is, like, obsessed with hearing it now that we know that she has an album named Midnights, that she, like, it sounds like – now, it could definitely be just, like, our imaginations. But it sounds like she meant to say – midnight. She was, like, starting to say Midnights, and she was like, oh, wait, this isn't the Midnights album. This is Lover.
So I had a song on my album that – came out a couple months ago. The album's called Lover.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So it's got me wondering if this, like, idea of midnights, like, I hadn't thought about that. Like, what you're saying, like, her midnights are kind of rough. Like, we know what she thinks about it, 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and whatever. She's probably been doing this forever. So she's probably had this idea of an album that talks about the thing that she worries about in the middle of the night. And I'm sure she was thinking about that throughout Reputation. And I wondered if she was turning this idea around of, should my next album be about these worries that I have? But then she had more song, her love kept going, and she was like, no, I like this, like, Lover thing. I'm not ready for Midnights yet. But in the back of her mind, maybe Midnights was, I don't know.
Yeah. Totally interesting. And it's just like one of the few references we have where she mentions the word midnight or midnights.
Yeah.
That we love to find now that we have Midnights. This is one of just a small handful. It's a little chicken nugget.
Just a little chicken nugget. All right, should we get into the second verse?
We shall. You squeeze my hand three times in the back of the taxi. I can tell that it's going to be a long road. She's in a taxi in this, but it's a metaphor. Like, the long road represents the relationship, what they have lying ahead of them, you know?
Okay, is it, like, because when I say, oh, this is going to be a long road, it's usually meaning, like, this is going to be hard. Like, this is going to be a long haul.
Totally.
Instead of, like, it's going to be, we're going to be here for a long, we've got a long relationship ahead of us.
I think it's both. Like, it's double both. Double meaning, long road, you know. She didn't say that there's obstacles in that road. It's just a long road. Like, I can tell that it's going to be a long road, which is sweet. Like, she, if you think of it like long road as in like this will last a long time, like she can tell so early on that this is going to be a lasting thing. It's not forever. It's not forevermore. But as we know now, but she just gets the impression that with him, it's different. It's going to be 2,190 days of a love blackout.
Hmm. Okay, but going back to that line, you squeezed my hand three times in the back of the taxi. This feels like a good time to bring up her performance on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yes, yes.
Which you referenced.
Yes.
It is a must watch. Bring all of your tissues.
There's glitter on the floor after the party.
But you, what you have to see is Jimmy Fallon talking about his mom before she performs. This episode was the first episode that he did for the Tonight Show. Is it the Tonight Show? Following a week that he canceled his shows after his mom died. His mom passed away, and he talks about his mom, and he like breaks down in tears, and he talks about how when he was little, his mom would squeeze his hand. I cannot say this without crying. He would squeeze her hand three. She would squeeze his hand three times to say, I love you. And then when he went to say goodbye to her as she was dying, she squeezed his hand three times.
And she would squeeze my hand three times and say, I love you. And I would squeeze back, I love you too.
I'm like a mess. Okay. And then he invited Taylor Swift to come sing this song.
Poor Jimmy. Maybe not poor Jimmy. That must have been almost cathartic and like comforting, perhaps.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Well, and she's a good friend of his.
Yeah.
Like, she's a really, like, they are good friends. And she did this for him. And I don't know. I'm not sure if he asked her, if he even knew. I'm not sure.
I don't know how
that interaction went. But it was an amazing story. It's an amazing performance. And when I first saw this, it kind of changed my whole perspective of this song. And that's why I kind of wanted to bring this up now. You can look at this song as a love song. Absolutely. Like about like the relationship. It was written. She spoke about it being written about like you want to kiss, but you'll take that whatever. You can also take this song to be about friendship, to be about love for anyone. And because if you go through it, there really aren't any specific references to kissing or lovers or anything that would like confuse or romance at all. This song is really special to me to think about the ways that I have friendships and that my friendships, we do have midnights. Literally, I have friends that we spend every New Year's Eve together, and we have been through some shit during our lives, okay? And it's like we have these wonderful, amazing celebrations where we get together and we dress up and we have so much fun, but like we're also the friends that are there through all of the times that we have to pick up the pieces for those friends. And I think that to me is why this song is so, so special, because we need like the people that matter the most to us, even our moms, our friends, whatever it is, like the people that matter the most to us, like they're gonna be there through all of it, through the highs, the lows, and everything in between. And that in and of itself is a beautiful.
We love it when she is able to write a song that is personal and meaningful for herself, but puts it in a way that allows all of us listeners to apply it to our own lives. She's known for that. She's done this across all of her songs. And this one is generic in such a poetic way, and that you can apply it to so many different situations, and it's very relatable. Well, let's continue on the second verse.
Keep going.
I'll be there if you're the toast of the town, babe. Or if you strike out and you're crawling home. This reminds me of, oh, so interesting.
Oh.
That the next song we get from Taylor is I Forgot That You Existed. Me came out first, but if you're listening...
But like, on the discography. In the discography,
the next song is I Forgot That You Existed. And there is a line in I Forgot That You Existed that connects this part to me. And I think it's in the second verse when she's singing, like, I would have fought the whole town for you. I would have been right there front row, even if nobody came to your show. And that's what this line, I'll be there if you're the toast of the town, babe, or if you strike out and you're crawling home.
Like that, the contrast of those two things.
Yes.
Like, I would have been there for you. I would have been front row. I would have, like, toast of the town or whether you lost or whatever. I would have been there.
Yeah.
And then this... And that's what she's saying here is like, I will be there for those things because that matters to me. Showing up at your 21st birthday matters to me.
Yeah, if we're going back to that episode.
We are. These things matter to her. And like she's,
yeah,
she shows us in many, many songs the things that matter the most to her. It's she's consistent. This is for sure.
She really is.
Yeah. And then we get another chorus that's only different in the I stay when it's hard or it's wrong or we're making mistakes.
Which is similar to the first chorus when she sings, I stay when you're lost and I'm scared and you're turning away. It's the same energy of things will be hard. Things will be wrong.
It is.
We will be making mistakes. That first
line is a little bit more accusatory. Like when, like, that he's turning away, he's scared, unless she's meaning the you of, like, from the last episode, which is, like, the general you, the universal you, like, when you're scared or when you're whatever.
I think
this
she's,
one is more
she's
like
singing
we.
You to him in this.
Okay. Well, in this one, it just feels more like we.
Yes.
It's
no,
more
you're
like
right.
Taking,
you're right. You're right. She's
we're both
she's
making
it about both of them in the second one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she's still, I want your midnights. She still does. And I will be cleaning up bottles with you on New Year's Day. Now we get, do we call this the bridge?
Yeah. You have to call this a bridge. I feel like
the structure of this song is not very traditional.
Right.
So it's a little intriguing, but I suppose it's the bridge, right?
It feels like a bridge to me.
So we've got, hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you.
Hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you. Hold on to the memories, they will.
Now this starts a series of repetitions. We get a lot of repetitions in the song, Rachel. A lot of repeating. And, you know, this is something that we've mentioned many times before. Sometimes Taylor Swift repeats the same line over and over again, and we feel like that is meaningful that she does that. It's not just for the catchiness of the song. It is for her to allow herself to, like, really feel what she's trying to sing. Hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you. We get that, like, four times in this section. And what do you take with that line? Hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you.
I with both this line and the next one, I feel like we're getting, I was thinking of the song, the classic New Year's Eve song, Auld Lang Syne, which is about looking back on old times and wondering if you'll remember these things. I like to think that she's looking back the way that you would do on New Year's Day, like looking back on the memories. And I feel like when you say hold on to the memories, it's like don't forget it. Like cherish this right now. Like cherish these things that you're experiencing right now because they will always be there in the back of your mind. Like they will hold on to you.
It's confusing because it doesn't necessarily fit the theme of the song. I feel like the theme of the song is this concept of New Year's Day, like after the party, but you know, it's not necessarily about the holiday of New Year's. And that's, so it to me, it's, I don't know why it's in this song.
Well, I would say, I do think some people have said this part is a little disjointed.
Yes.
I feel like this is why it's connected to Auld Lang Syne. Like, it's like, she's like, she's trying to connect back into that, looking back on the past and looking into the future that we do in New Year's Day. So hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you. These memories from the past. Please don't ever become a stranger whose laugh I could recognize anywhere, is like thinking about the future,
yeah,
like what could happen in the future. So I think that we're getting these like two back and forth ideas of things that you do on New Year's Eve. She's repeating it. It has me thinking like this is a fear of hers.
This
is why I kind of get a little bit of sadness and worry in this song, and not just like this simple, sweet, like,
yeah,
I love a simple, sweet life. Like, I think she's just kind of like, hey, let's really try to appreciate this simple thing and not just the midnights. It may be that she knows she gets carried away with the midnights, and she has to remind herself that she'll stay and she'll get through it and it's going to be okay.
This part is very reminiscent of Cornelia Street, where she has that fear, yes, of if something were to ever end, she doesn't think she could survive that. She's pleading, please don't ever become a stranger. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever become somebody that I don't know. Somebody who I don't recognize your laugh anymore. It's such a fun.
No, that's not what she says. Way. Laugh I could recognize anywhere. That's the opposite of what she says.
Right. So, like, she'll always be able to recognize that laugh no matter what happens.
It's so interesting. Right. And she pairs stranger with that. Like, you're a stranger to me because we're no longer together, but I recognize your laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like just the way that the two like contrast with each other. That line is so beautiful. Hold on to the memories they will hold on to you is giving long live for me.
Like, yeah.
It's definitely, that line is just a little bit too cheesy for me. I kind of wish she had leaned more into this. Please don't ever become a stranger. Like, if I'm going to give her some notes, I'm not so sure if hold on to the memories they will hold on to you is necessarily.
No, I think she's
the right line for
this. I think she's going to really appreciate your feedback. She did ask you.
I really think
what
so.
Well, you thought.
I mean, she hasn't released Reputation, Taylor's version yet, so she still has a chance to correct it. But we also know she doesn't do anything stupid in her music. Like, she's doing it intentionally. I have to just think that this is one of the things she was very fearful of, and that's mm-hmm. why she's repeating it. That's why this is like matters to her, and that's why she's trying to ground herself in like, hold on to the memories, hold on to these like Polaroid pictures, hold on to all of that, because it will be there. Like, that's the thing that will last. That's the lasting.
Yeah. Like, that candle wax is going to be there forever too.
Candle wax doesn't go anywhere.
That's
so annoying.
That sucks. Mm-hmm. Good thing she's rich and can probably just afford a new floor.
The one thing I just wanted to say about those two sections, I do like that in the end. So she has one. She goes, hold on to the memories I will hold you. Repeated. Please don't ever become a stranger. That's repeated. Then she layers them together. And that's why I think that's the part that I think is the most important, that she sees that the two of them are connected.
I will hold on to your knees. Don't to the memories become a stranger. Hold on to your laugh. Hold on to the memories.
Way that they almost have a conversation with each other. Like, I want to hold on to these memories, but don't ever become a stranger. Hold on to these memories, but don't leave me. Like, mm-hmm. like these are the things that she's like, just like always struggling.
Rachel, there is something else to mention.
Mention it.
She goes back to that first verse. There's glitter on the floor after the party.
Yes.
Girls carrying their shoes down in the lobby. Polar wax and candle roids on the hardwood floor. What she said in the first verse was you and me from the night before, but she changes it now to
yes,
you and me forevermore, which just the word itself, evermore, is so beautiful. Forevermore, also beautiful. And she uses it here. It I think Forevermore is like forever times infinity is sort of what that is.
Okay.
I think it's okay. Like forever on steroids, on candleroids and polar racks.
Candleroids, yes.
And that's the only change we get. And, you know, it's sad now because that relationship didn't last forevermore. You know what, Rachel? I really hope for Taylor's sake that she has already recorded Reputation Taylor's version. And hopefully she did that before they broke up.
Because
mentally, for her to revisit Reputation, the songs on Reputation, which is about falling in love with him, that's going to be a struggle for her.
That is rough. That is rough. And I had that exact same thought. Like, I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear the emotion in her voice from that. Because I'm certain, like, that she was doing it towards the end of the relationship. And so that when she was writing things like, "You're losing me." So obviously, like, as she's going through that, oh man, Sam, I cannot wait. It's going to be.
I almost wonder if she, regrets having to do this Taylor's version project because of what it does to her emotional state. Like revisiting these songs.
Yes, but that's so important for healing. It's so important.
That's a good point.
Now, she's in a happy relationship, but like that interview that she did with Time Magazine, she didn't hold back. Like she was pretty negative about Joe. Like she kind of threw him under the bus a couple of times.
Kind of, and, yes.
And so you can tell.
What did she say? The years that she was stuck inside, she'll never get those years back.
Never get back.
Yeah. Never get back. Yeah.
And like she wants a relationship where they celebrate each other. And
she wants, you know, those midnights. Uh-huh. And the uh-huh.
she wants the
penthouse of your heart. And not just the cleaning up part. She wants the cleaning up part because that means they're there through thick and thin, but she definitely wants those parties.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm thinking like, is she also just saying like, I want you to share what matters to you. Like, I want your midnights. I want to know the things that, I want to know the things that worry you. I want to know the things that like get you excited. I want to know the things that you celebrate. Like I want your fun. Joe, give me something.
Say something, babe. Do something, babe. Say something.
Do something. Choose something. Oh my God.
Oh my.
You cannot listen to these songs without like hearing those other things.
No, it's so true though.
All right.
You know, the song beautifully ends. You mentioned it with that layering. She's like layering, please don't ever become a stranger with, hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you. She sings that over and over and over again until we get that piano outro and it's a fade out and it's just a slow, like quiet, mm-hmm. slowly getting quieter and quieter, mm-hmm. that piano mm-hmm. progression. And that's
what a way to end an album.
The song it ends the album, and what a way to end it! Like I don't know how do you end an album like Reputation? It's just like I mentioned this earlier, but it's just a really good transition into the next album that we get.
It was also it harkened back to Taylor of before. Of like this more quieter, pulled back kind of music that she has done in the past. And it was almost like a reminder to her fans like, hey, I'm still here. Like the old Taylor is dead, but not all the way. Like there's still parts of me that like wants – there's still parts of me that like to write like really sweet love songs.
Yeah.
And you'll get it in your next album called Midnights. I mean Lover. Well, Sam, there is glitter on the floor – after the party that was this entire year of Taylor Swift. What a year it was, a year of swifting, of swigging with you. We stayed, Sam, for 52 episodes, a whole year of podcasting when it was hard, when you were wrong.
Hard and me.
When we made lots of mistakes.
This is true. Those things happen.
I feel like they did, but can we keep going? Like, I want it to be Swift and Swigs with Sibs forevermore.
Aww. Can we do that?
Okay, but so that means, like, what are we doing in our new year, Sam? What's next? How are we going to, like, get into the next season?
This is a big announcement, Rachel, that I'm about to make. And, you know, this spoiler alert is not going to come to a surprise to you, Rachel, because we have discussed this. This was something that we have been wanting to do for quite a while now. Our first episode, which has been a year ago, we are at our one-year anniversary. Our first episode was recorded together at our parents' house at Christmas time, where you and I will be again in just a couple of days from now, Rachel. And on that very first episode of Swift and Swigs with Sibs, we gave you a little intro about our podcast and about our backgrounds, and then we tickled on a song, Rachel. We just put a little chicken nuggets out there.
But it was like a cocktail. It was just like a shot.
It was a shot.
A shotgun shot in the dark.
Wow. That could not have been better planned. All I am saying is we're going to revisit that song that
we
touched upon in that very first episode, and we will truly and finally get into the thick of Getaway Car.
I cannot wait. This will feel so good because I feel like there are a billion thoughts I had and never got to say for that. So what a way to celebrate a full year. Our new year, let's call it second season of Swift and Swigs with Sibs. Let's give ourselves a season, right?
Let's do it.
Like, I think we did it.
I think so, Rachel.
We did it. All right, Sam. Can't wait to see you and can't wait to talk about that and celebrate our great year.
Swiggies, we wanted to say thank you to you. You've been there when we were the toast of the town or when we struck out and crawled home. So please don't ever become a stranger to us. Hold on to the memories of your favorite episodes, and we will hold on to you. Let us know what your favorite episodes are. Follow us at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. Send us an email at swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We want to read what you guys think about our episodes and the song choices that we do. Be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you listen to us on. And share with your friends all of the joy that is swifting and swigging with the Sibs. Thank you so much for making this a year to remember. Rachel, thank you to you as well for being a part of this fun adventure with me. This is only the beginning. Don't read the last page, people. But
we stay. We're coming back for another season.
But we stay. We're coming back for another season, baby. And we're going to kick it off with Getaway Car. So
let's get away into our new year.
Clink, clink, cheers to that, Rach.
Clink, cheers, toast to the town. Toast.